not there. Wait. Can you hear? Is there? It's there. Okay.
Good grief.
I tell you, it's been an interesting morning. It's hard to imagine. You know, it is hard to imagine after all that's gone on this year. We had come to the last Sunday of 2007. Can you imagine that? Whether we're ready for it or not, you realize there's only about 38 hours or so? Still got me? Yes? Okay, it's about 38. I'm not around.
We may have to do this the old-fashioned way. Okay, we're there. All right. How many hours are there till New Year's? About 38, right? I'm just seeing if you guys are paying attention, right? One of the questions that people are going to ask, and people ask about this time of the year, is how are you going to celebrate New Year's? Right, that's a question people ask. And so come tomorrow night, people are going to be glued to their TV sets or their computers. They're going to be watching these worldwide celebrations being broadcast. Okay, now, do you recognize this gentleman here? Let's see. There we go. Him. Okay. We found it. That's good. All right. Okay, so you got Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve is one option. Or you can watch these guys who are the Beverly Hillbillies. TV Land's got their Beverly Hillbillies New Year's Marathon. Wouldn't that be exciting to spend New Year's doing that? In New York City, as they have done every year since 1907, at one Times Square, they're going to drop down this. This year, it's a 1,200-pound Waterford crystal geodesic sphere that hits bottom at exactly 12 midnight. Okay, you've all seen that, right? It seems like just about everybody on this planet has seen that ball drop. And this year, the ball is made out of 672 crystal triangles. And inside of that are a bunch of mirrors that are increase the intensity of that. And 9,576 LEDs. Isn't that incredible? It makes it twice as bright as last year's model. And this is important. Okay, this is really important. Even though it's twice as bright, it uses 87% less wattage than last year. So it means it's environmentally friendly. Isn't that important? Back at the turn of the century, remember that not too far ago, San Francisco had this idea. They were planning to have a 7-story tall martini glass on the front of the Westin St. Francis. And at the stroke of midnight, there was this 10-foot inflatable olive that was going to slide down the swizzle stick into the martini. Okay, doesn't that sound like San Francisco? As Christians, there ought to be something. As Christians, there ought to be something more meaningful for us, something more lasting, less trivial than watching all the hoopla and the music and partying all night. So what does God say about celebrating the new year? What does God tell us is important for us to focus on? If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 29. Numbers 29. We're going to look together at the first 6 verses of this chapter. And in these verses, God speaks about New Year's, about what's important for us to focus on as we celebrate. Numbers 29, it comes in a section of Scripture that focuses on when various sacrifices are to be offered, the timing of those sacrifices. And specifically in Numbers 29, God talks about the sacrifices that are to be offered at the beginning of a new year. Numbers 29, starting at verse 1. Now, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall also have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It will be to you a day for blowing trumpets. Okay, let's pause there. Notice that he says, in the seventh month. And that's important. We need to understand what God means by in the seventh month. So first off, grab on to this. The Hebrew people are using two different calendars. Two calendars that are operating both at the same time. One calendar is God's calendar, which is a religious calendar. It was used to calculate the timing of religious festivals, the feasts, and sacrifices. And the other calendar was a civil calendar, which is what the Hebrews used for their official calendar of government, of business, of official record keeping. So both calendars have 12 months. They just start at different times, and that's important. Two calendars operating at the same time but starting at different times. Okay, hang with me on this. All right, the first month of God's calendar begins in our month of March or April. It's the month of Nisan. And the civil calendar begins in what would be our months of September and October with the month of Ethanim. Still with me on that? Okay, so if that's confusing, just remember this, okay? 7 to 1. The seventh month of God's religious calendar corresponds to the first month of the civil calendar. Okay, so here's what we need to understand. When Numbers 29:1 says now in the seventh month, that's God's religious calendar. We're also talking about the first month of the civil calendar, New Year's. Okay? So now in the seventh month of the first day of the month, or on New Year's, God says, you shall do this. This is how you are to celebrate. And then second, notice this. There's purpose to this celebration. God, who is not bound by our limitations, our time limitations of past, present, and future, God exists in a continuous now that simultaneously extends infinitely past and infinitely future and includes our present. God's not bound by time as we are. It's hard for us to think like that because everything we have, it seems it has a beginning point to it. We live in a progression of time, linear time, and we see what time does to things and to our bodies. But God created time. He uses time according to his purposes. And this awesome, incredible creating God who created everything to serve him, God has chosen to take his calendar, his timing of events, and to match it up with man's calendar. That's not coincidence. It's not an accident. God has purpose in this. He's showing us something. He's teaching us something. And so the bottom line, God says this: when you celebrate your new year, this is what I want you to focus on now. This is what is important for you. So here's what's important. Going on, verse 1. Now in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall also have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. Stop working. Come together for a special holy gathering. It will be for you a day of blowing trumpets. Take a ram's horn, called the shofar, it's blown, calling the people together. Verse 2. You shall offer a burnt offering as a soothing aroma to the Lord, one bull, one ram, and seven male lambs, 1 year old, without defect. Also their grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an apheth for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Offer one male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you, besides the burnt offering of the new moon and its grain offering, and the continual burnt offering and its grain offering, and their drink offerings, according to their ordinance, for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Can you imagine doing this in the middle of Times Square? Cool, there you go. Sacrifice, Times Square. See? But see, that's the timing of this thing, right? Sacrifice. At New Year's, sacrifice, which is crucial to our faith and our relationship with God. Picture this with me. The sacrifice being offered. When someone came to the tabernacle where all these sacrifices were being offered, he would come with an animal to be put on the altar for sacrifice. And the animal was payment, a sacrifice, an offering of atonement before God for the sins of the individual. And the animal was put on the altar, and the one making the sacrifice would put his hand on the head of the animal as an act of identification with the animal, with the sacrifice, a way of showing the transfer of sin from the individual to the animal, a reminder that the man would have died if the animal had not taken his place. How many of you guys watched the Nativity this last couple weeks, right? Remember that scene where Herod is holding on to the animal, the horns, and that's exactly the same thing. Okay, transfer from me to the animal. The animal's dying in my place. And then the animal was killed, it was skinned, it was chopped up. And if it was a sin offering, the blood was smeared on the altar and on other parts of the tabernacle, showing all of what was affected by sin, our relationship with God and everything that surrounds us. And then if it was a burnt offering, the whole animal was completely burned, showing the total annihilation that we deserve because of our sin. See, imagine what that must have been like. I mean, this is a gross, smelly, bloody mess. And for each person, one bull, one ram, seven male lambs, it's an impressive reminder of the cost of our sin. And then there was the grain offering. Fine flour with oil, symbolic of the essential necessities of life. Wine was poured out on the ground next to the altar. All this was a dramatic picture of one's entire life poured out, given to God. And this went on for 10 days. 10 days of repentance. 10 days of being continually reminded of our tenuous position before God. And finally, on the 10th day of the first month of the year came Yom Kippur, which is what? Day of Atonement. And the priest took the blood of the bull and the goat and sprinkled them on the mercy seat, the seat which was in the center of the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. All of this symbolic of the people's faith that God would forgive their sins. So what's God's point? Practically, what does this sacrifice mean for us today? For us at New Year's? If you would turn forward with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, starting at verse 11. It's quite a New Year's celebration, isn't it? Look at how all this works out in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9, starting at verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, not physical like the tabernacle in the wilderness or the temple in Jerusalem, but spiritual. Not through the blood of goats and calves, this bloody, smelly, continual sacrificing that we see in Numbers. But through his own blood poured out on the cross for us. He entered the holy place, the holy of holies, the place of the mercy seat. Entered the holy place once for all for us. Having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Have you heard this? The Old Testament sacrificial system is like taking a shower with your raincoat on. You heard that? The outside gets washed, but the stuff that really needs to get cleansed never gets touched. And the priest and the people would have to repeat their sacrifice over and over again, day after day, year after year, always faithfully praying that God would forgive their sins. Jesus offered himself once. Our sacrificial lamb, and that settled our sin account with God for eternity. And when we claim Jesus as our sacrificial lamb, God cleans us on the inside. He forgives our sins and places the Holy Spirit within us, sealing us for eternity with him. And that's what's important for us to focus on spiritually as we celebrate the coming of the new year. God, by his grace, has given us salvation poured out in the blood of Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, we live life with the living God. That is a long way from a giant inflatable olive dropping into a martini glass. Thinking about tomorrow, thinking about Tuesday, thinking about what God says is important to focus on, I like to suggest three priorities that we can give our attention to as we celebrate New Year's. There's a story. Maybe you've heard this one. There's a story about an 85-year-old couple having been married almost 60 years. Almost 60 years. They died in a car accident. And they'd had really good health the last 10 years, mainly due to the wife's interest in healthy health food and exercise. But they died in this car accident, and they're up in heaven. And when they reach heaven, Peter takes them to this mansion, which is decked out with this beautiful kitchen. There's a master bath suite, you know, with a jacuzzi in it, all the creature comforts. And as they oohed and they awed over this place, the husband asks Peter, well, how much is this going to cost? And Peter replies, it's free. It's heaven. And next they go out and back, and there's this championship golf course that the home kind of backs up to. And they've got golfing privileges every day. And each week, the course just changes into another championship golf course representing the best courses that have ever been designed. And the husband asks, he says, well, what are the green fees? And Peter replies, he says, well, this is heaven. You play for free. And then they go into the clubhouse. And there's this lavish, endless buffet lunch with all the greatest cuisines of the world laid out on it. And the husband says, well, how much does it cost to eat? And Peter says, this is heaven. It's free. And the husband says, well, where's the low-fat, low-calorie, low-cholesterol foods? And then Peter says, well, that's the best part. You can eat as much as you like of whatever you want, and you never get fat. You never get sick. This is heaven. And the husband looks at his health-conscious wife and says, you and your bran muffins. I could have been here 10 years ago. You heard that? How can we give priority to what's worth giving priority to as we go through this passage of time celebrating New Year's? First, we need to take time to meditate on who Jesus is in our lives. Meditate on who Jesus is in our lives. Say that with me. Meditate on who Jesus is in our lives. Okay, you ever feel like this? The espresso concentrate? Need it ASAP. You know, I kind of felt like that this morning. We were having all kinds of fun this morning, weren't we? This is great. Andrew, everyone just say thank you to Andrew back there. Just say thank you to Andrew. You know, you cannot believe what happened this morning. The computer is just not operating. Rita shows up in the morning. The stage is empty. It was chaos this morning. You ever feel that pressure that you just got to get everything? How is the world going to, you know, just, anyway, tension, right? A few years back, there was this musical group, Alabama. Heard of these guys? They had this song, and it went like this. I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die. But I'm in a hurry, and I don't know why. You ever felt like that? You ever heard that, right? Yeah, it seems like that. Our days are just full of rush and worry and the tyranny of what must be done. Celebration without meaning. In Numbers 29, God says to stop work. Just stop. And focus on a relationship with him. You shall do no laborious work. It will be a day for blowing trumpets. And in Jesus, God has given us so much more than the emptiness of what we see around us. We could go from Genesis to Revelation and list all the ways that our lives are different because of Jesus Christ. One brief example to think about. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 19. Maybe sometime today, tomorrow, open your Bible and just read through this passage and praise God for what he's done for you. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes that in Jesus, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Not a few, every spiritual blessing. That we are chosen by God. So that Jesus, that in Jesus, God accepts us with all of our faults and struggles and inadequacies. Because of Jesus, we are the sons of God. Through Jesus Christ, God has given to us salvation and not his wrath. God has forgiven our sins. And he lavishes on us his wisdom and insight. He has given to us a rich eternal inheritance. And because of Jesus Christ, we now have the ability to grow deep in our relationship with God. And we can experience God's power and strength. Those are awesome realities, aren't they? Meditate on this. Take time to grab some perspective that the awesome God of creation died for you. And he knows you. And he loves you. And he cares for you. And he includes you in his purposes. Second, we should give priority to prayer. Say that with me. Priority. We should give priority to prayer. Numbers 29, it focuses on being right before God. Offerings are brought before God as a soothing aroma, the renewing of our relationship with God. We have the opportunity to do business with God, to talk with him honestly and openly about what's really going on in our lives. If this works, watch this. He said, we're having fun today, so watch this. Kind of relate to that a little bit. You know, there are so many people who come to the end of their lives and they see no purpose. They see no meaning. There's no fulfillment. And faced with the end of their time, they start trying to create a legacy that takes a lifetime to create. And so many people around us, maybe you feel this, but so many people around us are just existing. They're not really living. To spend New Year's in prayer with God is to allow him to speak to us about how we're spending our lives. To allow him to review what we give our time and attention to. To allow him to adjust the pace and the priorities of our lives, the ebb and the flow, the rhythm, the balance. In Jesus, God gave himself as your sacrifice. Is he really your Savior? Have you come to that moment when you've agreed with him that you're in sin, that you need him as your Savior? Have you surrendered your life to him? I mean, really surrendered it. And if you've never come to that moment, you need to speak to God in prayer about unfinished business. We have the opportunity this week to renew our commitment to our relationship with Jesus. So in our celebrations, we need to be in prayer. Prayers of confession, prayers of dedication and commitment, of openness, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers which ask for the blood of Jesus to cover any area of our lives, to purify us and make us useful for his service. Meditate. Third area we should create opportunities to share. Say that with me. Create opportunities to share. On New Year's Eve, when I was a lot younger, my folks would invite over a whole lot of close friends to celebrate New Year's. They'd invite people over, maybe about 10 people or so. And they would come over about 9-ish, and have some food. It's always food, right? You got to have food. And they would play some games together. And then about 11:30 or so, they'd end up in the family room for a time of sharing, time of prayer, which for me was pretty boring. I mean, I was more impressed with what was happening on TV. There were parties in the neighborhood. So like today at midnight, they'd light off fireworks, you hear little explosions in the neighborhood. There was a guy in the neighborhood who had a cannon. He'd fire off this cannon. Okay. That's pretty impressive stuff, right? And there would be my folks and these other old people who were talking about God and praying together. Not exactly a waste of time, but certainly they were missing the point. Things change. In Numbers 29, the priests blew the trumpets. They called God's people together for a holy convocation, a coming together for a special holy purpose, to focus together on their relationship with God. And during the holidays, the holy days, we have the opportunity to come together with family and friends. It's been said, see if you've heard this, it's been said, four things come not back: the spoken word, the spent arrow, time past, the neglected opportunity. Think about the impression that all of the New Year's hoopla will leave on your children. What will they remember? What will they pass on to our grandchildren? That they stayed up late? That there were fireworks? What will they remember that's important? Mom and dad sharing about Jesus, his place in their lives. Time spent together as a family, in prayer, reading the Bible. What an opportunity. And speaking to the Yaddles and the youngins, okay, that's an opportunity not to be missed. And it will pay you dividends, keep you from heaps of trouble, help you not to waste your life, to hear what others have to say about living life with the living God. The passing of another year is a great opportunity to think about what's really important in life. From meditations, from the prayer should come sharing. May we not miss the opportunity that God has created, that God is giving to us. May we take advantage of that opportunity and focus on what God says is really important to celebrate. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you that you intervene into our lives. You have taken what is this religious, spiritual calendar set up to focus on our relationship with you, and you have brought it dramatically into how we view time. And you have impressed upon us, your people, what it is that we need to focus on, what is important for us to understand. How great you are, how you have reached to us, that we might know you, what it means to live life with the living God. And so, Father, let us not waste the opportunity that you give to us. But in the few hours that are left of this year, and as we begin into the new year, may we focus on you and all that you have done for us. That God, you would speak to us about the priorities of our lives. They would not be wasted, but they would be opportunities, they would be lives given to you to accomplish your great purposes for us, through us, and according to your will and your creation. Thank you, Father, for what you have done and what you will do. We pray in Jesus, our Savior's name.